passed, President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation on January 1, 1863. Yet, slavery continued in areas where the absence of Union troops allowed the Confederacy to withhold news of emancipation from the 250,000 enslaved people in Texas. And whereas on June 19, 1865, Union soldiers led by Major General Gordon Granger arrived in Galveston, Texas, with news that the Confederacy had surrendered and that all enslaved people in Texas were free.
Yeah, you know, it's a historical fact that common enough in warfare, at least it used to be common enough in warfare, that when you'd have a war, the end of the war wasn't immediately known by everybody everywhere. You know, there's all these stories in, you know, World War One and certainly wars before that, that, you know, like, the armistice has been signed, but it takes a little while to get the information of the troops on the front line. You know, this is not quite the same as that, but it's, and certainly it took longer than it should have. But getting the word to the last of the slaves that had not realized that they had been made free in Galveston, you know, took a minute. And so that's why we celebrate Juneteenth. This is Mayor Heather Lindsay in the city of Milton reading the proclamation that they put forward for this the other day.
And whereas freedmen in Texas organized the inaugural celebration of Jubilee Day on June 19th the following year, with Juneteenth commemorations occurring in the decades to follow that featured music, barbecues, prayer services, and other activities. And whereas the Juneteenth tradition spread as Black people migrated from Texas to other parts of the country. And whereas for over 150 years, the emancipation celebration known as Juneteenth commemorates with joy the faith and resilience of African Americans who survived enslavement, with Texas being the first to recognize June 19th as a holiday in 1979. And whereas Juneteenth was officially recognized as a federal holiday when President Biden signed legislation so stating on June 17th, 2021.
So it is a federal holiday. So like your federal courts and the stock market and mostly the Postal Service is not running today. It is not a state holiday in Florida, not a holiday. It's like a day of observance or something like that. It's some kind of middle level thing. So there's a lot of, you know, local offices may or may not be open depending on whether, like, you know, the city has closed them or the county has closed them. But, you know, Biden did make it a federal holiday back in 2021. And that's kind of the evolution of the celebration of the day. And so now.
And whereas Americans of all colors, creeds, cultures, ethnicities, and countries of origin share a love of freedom and a determination to protect our rights through democratic institutions by which the tenets of freedom are guaranteed and protected. And whereas until all are free, none are free, reminds us as citizens to celebrate Juneteenth in recognition of our nation's development and realizing the ideals of the Declaration of Independence. Now, therefore, I, Heather Lindsay, mayor of the city of Milton, do hereby proclaim June 19th, 2023 as Juneteenth, and I invite all Miltonians to participate in events that celebrate freedom for all.
And it is an Escambia holiday. You know, I don't know if it's a Santa Rosa holiday. I need to look. Pensacola holiday. So things that might normally be open are not going to be open today. But yeah, it's an interesting holiday also, because it's on the one hand, it's kind of for most Americans, it's relatively new. I mean, it was just made a federal holiday in 2021, so that's relatively new. You didn't grow up with Juneteenth celebrations if you're white. Okay, you may have if you're black. And that's another part of what makes this kind of an unusual holiday for a lot of people, is because they feel like this is a byproduct of some of the racial injustice movement, protests, George Floyd, the time frame in which it became more popularized, that, you know, I think a lot of people still have the feeling like it's kind of a black holiday rather than an American holiday. And I always try to say it might feel that way, and I understand, you know, why you might feel that way, but it celebrates an American good. It celebrates the ending of slavery. You know, we don't have any holidays around the Civil War, kind of for obvious reasons. I mean, part of the reason is because a Civil War is never something you can really celebrate, right? Because, you know, one side wins, one side loses, it's still half the country or whatever, you know, and all of the death and all of the destruction. And you're not going to have a national holiday to celebrate a thing where half the country loses. I mean, it's a weird, you know, there's no holiday around. There's not, like, you know, Victory Over the South Day, right? You know, the way we'd have Victory Over Japan Day or Victory Over Germany Day or something like that. It just doesn't exist in that way. The closest we've got is this, because this would be celebrating the end of the evil that was so crucial to the events leading up to, and of course, the, you know, reasons for the war. And so celebrating the end of slavery, to me, is an American thing. And even though it can feel, for some people, it can feel like, well, this is kind of a black day. Well, no. I mean, this is an American day. And, you know, not to put too blunt a point on it, but, you know, an awful lot of white people fought in order to make liberation for the slaves. Sadly, an awful lot of white people fought against liberating the slaves, too. But that side lost, right? So the other thing about Juneteenth that's kind of interesting is we've got tensions in our culture around how we treat other cultures. And to a large extent, black culture in America is another culture from white culture, the dominant culture, the mainstream culture, you know, whatever you want to call it, okay? And so, for example, when it comes to, like, food and music and dress, we have a tension right now in this country, a tension which I think is to some degree falsely placed, but nevertheless, here it is. On the one hand, you know, we like Japanese food, Chinese food, Mexican food, Italian food, right? And so we celebrate those things. We enjoy those things. And nobody thinks much of it. But if you want to sort of role play as other cultures, that's currently viewed by some as cultural appropriation. I think that's a nonsense argument. I think that if you're going to celebrate a thing, enjoy it. If you like Mexican music, if you like Italian music, if you want to dress in Japanese garb or Chinese garb because you think it's neat or it's cool, I have no problem with it. You know, as a representative of a culture, like let's say Christianity is a culture, if somebody wants to, you know, wear my icons and celebrate my stuff, and, you know, if they want to, I don't know what dressing as a Christian would be, but, you know, if they want to take my culture and use it, that doesn't bother me. I think that's promoting my culture. And if they're doing it in a way that's inauthentic or at odds with my culture, well, you know, okay, so be it. I mean, you know, that's a long history of that. So I think all these arguments about cultural appropriation are pretty stupid. Not stupid. They're overblown. There are cases where it's really a kind of racism or anti-culturism because you're mocking the thing. But most of the stuff is not mocking it. And as long as you're not mocking it, and even if you are, you have the freedom to do it, it maybe isn't a good thing. So then we come to Juneteenth, and one of the problems that we have in figuring out how to honor it is the foods that are typically going to be eaten are sort of culturally black foods, but we have learned as white people, you know, that, well, the foods that they're going to eat might be, you know, barbecue and watermelon, and that's normal. In fact, watermelon has the pink, right, that symbolizes the blood and the struggle, or red velvet cake that symbolizes the blood and the struggle. You know, or you think of something like fried chicken. Well, am I supposed to eat fried chicken on Juneteenth? I don't know. We used to make fun of black people for eating fried chicken because fried chicken was the bits that came off the worst part of the animal. And so it was only poor people who were often black who had to eat those bits. And that's where you get like chicken wings come from, is because it was, you know, the least quality, or the awful meats, or the least quality. You know, there's sort of like all of this background to why people eat the things that they eat, and particularly when it comes to black people. And so you wonder, well, you know, if white people eat black foods on Juneteenth, are they culturally appropriating? Are they mocking? Are they being inauthentic? Are they, you know, like, those are the questions that get raised. And here again, my answer is, so if you got to, like, kids, like, say, you know, I have kids, and they've learned, you know, we're actually not planning to do it this year just because I don't have the right stuff at home. But in years past, we've, you know, I'll make, like, ribs and collard greens and, you know, red velvet cake, and I'll explain to them, hey, this is why we do this, because this is Juneteenth, and this is what it means to the people who ate these foods. And so they know that. They've learned that. Now, is that weird and wrong because white people are eating black food? Well, I say no. I mean, that's the whole point, is to recognize where a tradition comes from, why it exists, and then to honor the people who held it and to celebrate it and enjoy it the way they enjoy it. But it's just, it makes for a complicated thing. And sort of one last note on this is, in some ways, that's actually useful. And I'll tell you why. This is something that I had been thinking about more recently, is that that feeling by typically white people that we don't want to offend black people, or that we don't want to be viewed as appropriating or as intruding or as demeaning or marginalized. You know what I mean? Like that feeling of being an outsider a little bit in something like this and not being quite sure what to do and not wanting to step wrong. That's an okay thing to feel because it gives you just a little slice of what black people feel an awful lot around white culture and around white people. That feeling of being the outsider, the marginalized, the unsure, the unwelcome, you know, the person who's staying at the hotel that they don't really belong in, that kind of feel, the person who feels like when they're shopping, they're being watched because they're not sure they belong or are accepted. It's okay to feel a little bit of that. And then think about what's it like to live life all the time that way, which was certainly true for much of the history of the United States, even, of course, you know, post the Civil War under Jim Crow and everything else, and much worse than it is right now or has been for a long time. So anyway, just a you know, just some thoughts about Juneteenth. We celebrate it. I believe in it. Don't feel like it's just a black holiday. It's an American holiday because it celebrates a good thing, the end of slavery in the country. But yeah, it's okay to have some kind of tension around a holiday like this because it can be useful. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.